Please pray with me. Father in heaven, we do bless your name, for you are our creator. We are the flock of your pasture. You are the creator of the universe. We look around us and are astounded at this incredible indication of your handiwork. And we bless and honor your name because you are the author of our salvation. In Christ, you've made a way for us to come to the throne of mercy and find help in time of need. And so this morning, that's where we are, at a place of need. We need your guidance to show us the way. The prophet says that you'll show the way. This is the way. Walk this way. And we're counting on that, God. And some of us are not as young as we used to be and maybe can't move as fast as we used to. But we know that it is your will for Christ's name to be proclaimed everywhere. We want to do that here. And in these days that seem discouraging and not very clear what's ahead, we just ask for your hand to guide us and show us the way. We ask your a special blessing on those who are preparing for the trip to Rancho Santa Marta. Guide them, give them strength and health, and let them be a wonderful blessing to the folks at Rancho Santa Marta and vice versa. Pray that your spirit would be with them every step of the way. We ask your blessing on Pastor Morgan as he speaks to us this morning. Help us to have open minds and open hearts to hear what you have to say to us. And we want to pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Those of you who have been enjoying the adult education hour led by Mike Clark, you guys already explored this last week, I think, so you know all the answers. But if you've read this text and you're familiar with it at all, you remember it even from Sunday school, you know that's kind of the part of the problem. We get to a place in our lives where we think we know all the answers. And then something happens. God shows up in a way that begins to challenge all the things that we thought we knew all the answers. All of a sudden, life, by God's grace, begins to bring totally different questions. And that's what happens to Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Nicodemus is a Pharisee. He's part of this group of really serious people, people who are really hardcore about doing God's will. And they are so impressed with and frustrated with Jesus because Jesus seems to care as much about the kingdom of God as they do. He just won't get on their program. He just won't join in them in their rule keeping and their way of living this stuff out. And what seems to have occurred here is that Nicodemus has been seeing Jesus at work, encountering Jesus in the mysterious ways in which he is expressing the kingdom of God, doing the works of God in a way that is so impressive and so other than anything Nicodemus has seen anymore, it's starting to kick open hard questions for him. And he's about to take a journey that I am going to call the 12-inch journey. So let's hear about Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Now there was a Pharisee named Nicodemus, a leader of the Jews. He came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher who has come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do apart from the presence of God." Jesus answered him, Very truly, I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God without being born from above. Nicodemus said to him, how can anyone be born after having grown old? No one can enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born. Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and spirit. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not be astonished that I have said to you, you must be born from above. The wind blows where it chooses, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, how can these things be? Jesus answered him, are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Very truly, I tell you, we speak of what we know and testify to what we have seen, yet you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you about earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you about heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except the one who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the people loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light so that it may be clearly seen and that their deeds have been done in God. Let us pray. Loving Lord, may we hear in this text a story for each of us and for all of us. Holy Spirit, who, like the wind, moves. We don't know where it comes from or where it goes, but we see its effects. We long to see the effects of the Holy Spirit alive in us as a congregation, to be made new, to be born from above yet again. May we, like Nicodemus, by the power of your Spirit, be born from above. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So the person who introduced me to the 12-inch journey was my friend Steve. Steve was about the age I am now. And he was an elder at the first church I served as an associate pastor in Arizona. And Steve talked about how the longest journey that he ever made in his life was the 12-inch journey, and that growing up a cultural Catholic, his experience of taking this journey was when somebody invited him to do the Road to Emmaus ministry. How many of you have participated in the Road to Emmaus at all? Okay, nobody's done that. Okay, a few of you. I've never met a person who got invited to and participated into a Road to Emmaus weekend that wasn't changed forever by that experience. And Steve was no exception. The way it works is you're invited to go on a weekend, and they're very clever about it. They always get the men to go first. It's men do it one weekend and then women do it another weekend. And they always get the men to do it first because they know that men will say to when their wives come to them and say, I really want to do this thing, the husbands will just say, sure, have a good time. And they've learned in the program, no, we want men and women to experience this. And so we always say to the women, you can't go until your husband will go. So leverage, right? So Nan, Steve's wife, gets him to say yes to doing this Road to Emmaus weekend. And he's like, okay, fine. And when he gets there, they've prepared in advance. They said, you know, we need you to give us the, we're gonna make sure that there's somebody at home in case something happens for you and for your family while you're away, you can know that they are taken care of. We've got people who they, if something happens with your family, you can, the family can call them and they'll take care of it. You don't need to worry about your family at all this weekend. And they're like, oh, that's nice. And then they come to Steve and say, so we need your cell phone. And he says, you try to take my cell phone, you're going to draw back a nub. And they said, I understand, it's a little scary. And this was before we, this was way back in the day before we were really addicted to these things. But they said, we need your cell phone. And he very reluctantly gave it up. And that first act of surrender began a journey over the course of this weekend of a deeper and deeper surrendering to the work of God. And he said that was the weekend that he took the 12-inch journey. The journey from knowing about God in his head to really experiencing God in his heart. And that was a long time ago when he told me that story, and I'm struck by how it stays with me. And I'm struck by the way in which Nicodemus seems to be having this same experience. As a Pharisee, he knows he's got it all locked up in his head. He is dialed in. And he's part of the group of people who are famous for, you know, being dialed in on the things of God. He's got this thing wound up really nice and tight. Everything's buttoned down. And then Jesus shows up and begins to, as Nicodemus says, do the acts of God in a way that completely surprises him. And he knows that if he's openly talking with Jesus, that's going to cause a stir. That could get him sideways with his people. And so instead, he comes in at night to have a private conversation. And the conversation is hard for even us to follow, isn't it? In fact, it's almost as though Jesus is being intentionally obscure and obtuse, because the word that he uses when he says, if you're going to enter into the kingdom of God, you have to be born. We all know the word again, right? You need to be born again. This particular, this translation says above, but it can be either way. Born again, born from above, which is it? And that's why Nicodemus is confused. He says, what are you talking about? Like, I'm going to go into my mother's womb again? So already there's this confusion. Something needs to change for you, Nicodemus, Jesus wants to say. Even as a teacher in Israel, even having known all the things that you know, something's going to have to change. And you're going to have to undergo a transformation. The same kind of transformation that you had when you were first born. And what I love about that is, at minimum, we know this. You didn't get to pick being born, right? You didn't actually have any control in that. No say whatsoever. So Jesus seems to be saying, likewise with this second change. Likewise with what it means to be born again. Let's pause for a second. Because we're good evangelicals who believe in being born again. Amen? Okay. That was almost enthusiastic for Presbyterians. You almost bought in. Okay, that's fine. I'll just go with that. But unfortunately, within our culture, within our evangelical Christian culture, we've sort of bought into this idea that we have to born ourselves again. In fact, we get really convinced, it seems to me, that when it comes to our evangelism, the thing that the world really needs is for us to explain to them who Jesus is, explain why the Bible is true and reliable, explain the doctrines, work through, if it works for you, the four spiritual laws. To do these things that we can offer to people in a very clear and compelling way, here's the truth of who Jesus is and the kingdom of God is. All we need you to do is believe in it. And when we say the word believe, we mean give intellectual assent. Buy in. Say yes in your head, and then you'll be born again. And that's exactly the opposite of what Jesus just said. So when we hold up our signs at the football game to say John 3:16, I have to ask myself, do we really understand what we're inviting people into here? We're inviting them into taking the 12-inch journey. And when I think about Nicodemus, I think about so many people I know, beautiful people, who have been faithful their whole lives to Christ. Faithful their whole lives to the church. They don't remember a day when they weren't part of the people of God. And I'm always really unsettled when on occasion somebody will come to me and say, I've been in church my whole life and I've never heard somebody say what you just said. I've been in church my whole life, but I've never really had this encounter with Jesus like you're describing. It just breaks my heart. And I think it's beautiful and significant that John, at the very beginning of his gospel, will describe Nicodemus, who, for shorthand, is a person who is thinking about, wants to, and is not yet able to take the 12-inch journey. He's starting to ask the kinds of hard questions. Jesus' presence in his life is stirring up things in him that he can't easily put into all the nice, neat little categories of life that he's been working with up until now. Can you relate to that? Can you relate to coming to a point in your life where all the things that made sense don't make sense anymore? As I have been sharing with you, I'm in the midst of a spiritual direction program. And I'm almost finished. In a few weeks, I get to go to a closing residency. And this last course that we've been working through together described what's called the critical journey, the journey of faith that we walk in Christ. And there are six stages to it. And around about stage four, that's where Nicodemus is. He kind of came to understand what he understands. He's been following God faithfully. He's been working really hard and producing for the Lord as best as he knows how. And then something has happened, i.e. Jesus shows up, that totally upsets everything for him. And this is the place when we go into darkness. This is the place when all the things that we thought we understood so certainly don't work for us anymore. And when that moment comes, when we hit that wall, one of two things will happen. We'll either turn away from it and go back to the things that we know and try to stay safe in that, or we will continue to push through and wrestle with it. And what seems to be really clear in John's gospel is that Nicodemus is really wrestling with some hard stuff. And it's not an easy wrestle. In fact, it takes him the entire gospel to get to the place where he will openly stand in solidarity with Jesus. Here in chapter 3, he's asking hard questions and leaves pretty dissatisfied with the answers. Because Jesus is speaking around mysterious things. The Holy Spirit, the wind blowing where it goes. Having to be born from above. He's having to rethink, being challenged to think about everything in a totally different way. But as the story goes on and all of his friends want to kill Jesus, Nicodemus will be the one who stands up for him and says, this guy deserves a fair trial and we shouldn't be running him through a kangaroo court. And then at the end, when it's time for his burial, it's Nicodemus who will bring way too many spices, 100 pounds of spices, way more than is needed. It seems as though this is that moment when he started to understand the lavishness of the kingdom, the generosity, the overabundance. He seems to have moved through that darkness into a new, deeper revelation of who God is. I'm wondering if that's where we are as a congregation. I'm wondering if we're in a place where the old answers aren't working for us anymore, and we think it's very tempting to think that God doesn't God's mad at us. God's disappointed. God expects more for us, and we need to double down on whatever we've been doing up until now to get God happy with us. That's the path of the Pharisee. If it's not working, let me do it twice as hard. Let me make sure everybody else has to do it, and let me make everybody miserable in the attempt. My friend Steve had been living that way up until this moment that on this weekend he found that that by the power of the Holy Spirit, by the movement of God in his life, he made this 12-inch journey from his head to his heart. That, my friends, I want to suggest is a conversion. That is what it means to be born again or born above. And I want to really be clear about this. This isn't about salvation. This isn't about getting into heaven when you die. This is about living into the fullness of the kingdom of God right here and now. It's about entering into a whole new way of dynamic, beautiful love with God and with other people. It's disorienting. It's mysterious. It's scary. And it's beautiful. And if you want that journey, if you want to take it, if you want to keep going, don't worry. God will lead you there. You don't have to born yourself again. You don't have to grow yourself up. You don't have to get on to anything. This is not a race. This is no prize. It's just the way that the grace of God moves us through life. And I want to suggest that we as a community are in that place, and at that place, there's some really beautiful questions that we get to ask, even if we don't quite know the answers yet. Like, what does it mean for us to give ourselves away in love to the world around us? Like, what rules should we break so in the name of following Jesus wherever he might lead us? Like, if God brought a brand new thing into our lives and totally invited a transformation in the way we live our life together, would we be willing to receive that? Could we embrace that? It's like this part of me wants to say in Jesus' name, you guys have been Presbyterians all this time and I still have to explain this to you? The answer is, yeah, it's partly because we've been Presbyterians all this time. We need help here. And Jesus is offering it. As I've spoken to our leaders and spent time listening to our stories, I know that evangelism is really important to us. We long to be able to share the good news of the gospel with our friends, with our family, with our coworkers, with our community, with the people across the street, in the neighborhood, all around us. We want to evangelize. Here's part of what I felt drawn to the story of Nicodemus. Here's one of the reasons. Nicodemus is in the midst of taking this 12-inch journey from head to heart. And that, as a pastor, that feels like the one I am constantly calling people to take. I'm constantly looking at folks like you saying, I know you know about Jesus. Now I want you to experience Jesus in a deeper, more intimate way. And I believe Jesus is inviting you into that. And I want to be able to help you and support you in that journey as you want to do it. That's my job because you're here in church on Sunday morning. How do I help you take this 12-inch journey from head to heart? But there's a different journey. There's a journey from heart to head. And I think about how Paul in Romans talks about how people knew God. They had a sense of God, even though Jesus hadn't yet come, and even though the law hadn't been presented to them, even though the fullness of God's revelation through the law and through the person of Jesus Christ, even though that hadn't, everybody has this intuitive understanding, this connection to an ability to apprehend something larger than themselves. And that's the journey that starts in the heart. I know that there's something bigger than me, a person may say. I sense that there's a larger purpose. I don't understand it, but I know that it's there. These are the people that
currently in our society are categorized as nuns. You know that, right? When they're asked, what is your faith background, what's your faith affiliation, the answer is none. We live in a culture, we live in a world full of nuns. But just because they don't go to a church, because they don't hold up a particular religious flag, because they don't go to a house of worship on a regular basis, doesn't mean that God isn't at work in their life, that the Holy Spirit, like the wind, isn't at work, right? And I think it's kind of interesting, and maybe not an accident, that John decides to tell the journey of Nicodemus in chapter 3, a story about a Pharisee, a guy's guy who's God's guy with all the other God's guys, who has to take this 12-inch journey from head to heart, tells this story, and then the very next chapter is dedicated, the whole chapter, to this incredible conversation that Jesus has with the Samaritan woman, who is on the outside of the outside of the outside, and yet Jesus and the Samaritan woman have this incredibly thoughtful and nuanced theological conversation that makes it very clear in my mind that she is ready to take the journey from heart to head. She understands that there is a real God and that she wants to connect to that God, even though she is completely on the outside of all the cultural and religious structures that would validate her otherwise. The point I really want to make is this. If we long to connect with people out in the world, I believe that first we need to generously assume that if they don't know anything about Jesus, if they're not de-churched, if they're not mad at some church for acting badly in their past, if they're not angry at their great aunt for the way she brought them a fresh Bible every Christmas instead of giving them cash like they really wanted. If they haven't had some religious experience that has turned them off, if they are completely 100% neutral about the whole church thing, then my guess is that they're not neutral about spirituality. They're not neutral about being connected to a force, a power greater than themselves. They're not neutral about that at all. And that they would love somebody to walk with them as they take the 12-inch journey from heart to head. But for us to be able to take that journey with them, we got to take the first one first. You follow? So we need, through spiritual disciplines, through regular practices, we need to cultivate a day by day, moment by moment, Jesus lived life. Because it's out of that Jesus lived life, which is precisely what Jesus was inviting Nicodemus to, right? It's out of that lived life that the Holy Spirit isn't just moving out in the world. The Holy Spirit is moving through us in mysterious ways that we don't quite understand, but are going to open us up to what I like to call divine appointments. These moments in which we just find ourselves having a spiritual conversation with someone. These moments in which we're beginning to hear and tune in to the yearnings and the longings of the people around us. And we have the courage to move just a little closer to them and say, I sense that the wind is blowing. I feel that breeze. I'll bet you do too. And to be curious with you about it. To ask to hear your story. And to be open to the notion that the Holy Spirit at that very moment is leading somebody else on their own 12-inch journey. If you feel like your faith isn't making sense right now, if you feel like the way we do church needs to change, but we're not sure how to do that differently now, if you were asking really, really hard questions and we feel like Jesus is giving us really, really obtuse answers right now, I want to say it's okay. You're okay. There's no problem here. But it is a scary journey. It does require a new level of surrender. And if we will take it, God can do a new thing. And we can be born and reborn and born again and born from above and born all over again. And when people come into our midst who have taken that other journey where it's like, I felt something in my heart and now I know it's about Jesus and I want to learn about Jesus, and you guys all know about Jesus, would you please tell me about him? Their desire to know about Christ, that's going to reconvert all of us all over again too. I believe one new believer converts a whole church. Do you believe that? Would you like to have a conversion experience like that? I know I would. And so that's what I want to pray for as we close this morning. Let us pray. So, Lord, wherever each of us is on this 12-inch journey, wherever you are taking us, we pray that the movement from head to heart for us would be made complete. We pray that we would sense the movement of your Holy Spirit, even if it's making us restless, even if it's raising hard questions for us. We do pray and for the opportunity to meet and start to recognize the people in our own lives who are taking that, who might have that other journey going on, for whom they feel or they have an understanding about God, but nobody's ever introduced them to Jesus, and that we would want to be able to do that, not to prove anything, not to be right about anything, but to simply join the Holy Spirit in the movement the Holy Spirit is up to. We thank you for the story of Nicodemus. We thank you that he reminds us so much of us. And we pray, Lord, that you would keep leading us further and further on the journey. And all God's people said, amen. A couple things. If you need some prayer this morning, even if you don't need prayer this morning, there's always two people over here in the corner who just want to pray with somebody. So make something up. We are here to offer prayer for you. But unfortunately, I mean not me this morning. I got to run out the door. I got to get to Oakland Airport, and I got to fly to Colorado Springs. That's where the Eco National Gathering is. So I'm going to be there this week. Please pray for me. Pray that I get smart. Pray that I see the fingerprints of how God is at work in other congregations and other things, and that I can celebrate, I can come back there, back and celebrate with you. God's doing good stuff, and God's going to do good stuff in us. So that's, I'm going to be there. So forgive me if I bolt, but that's what I need to do. But now I want you to receive the benediction, the good word. In the name of our loving God, who so loved the world that he gave his Son. In the name of the Son, our Lord Jesus, who came into that world not to condemn it, but to save it and redeem it and transform it so that we can live into full kingdom presence now. In the name of the Holy Spirit that blows, and that whose power is not ours to control, but it is ours to receive and to experience his new life. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, my friends, go now and continue on the journey in peace. Amen.